This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Here we go, Doc.
Hey, Mike, welcome back.
Hey, I appreciate that.
I want to tell you a story that this show reminded me of, okay?
Okay.
The intro, too, thereof.
Yeah.
Was, I think, the funniest introduction that I ever saw to a Saturday Night Live show.
Really?
Yeah. The introduction was very simple. It said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Simon." Whereupon they both walked out. And there was the Grammy Award winning singer, songwriter, the former senator, presidential candidate, and they each gave a monologue about why they were the logical host to the show. And I actually got to meet one of them. I was moderating a discussion at a panel and met the former senator from Illinois, and I told him about that had stuck in my mind after all. The wonderful, wonderful man, very unassuming, and had this kind of aw shucks. He said, "Aw shucks, that was a long time ago." I said, "But it was that memorable." In that spirit, we have today with us. Let me introduce this way.
Could not see where you were going.
You don't see the connection.
Are we here yet?
I'm going to get the connection. I'm going to say, our guest today,
big ears,
is a highly popular former mayor of Phoenix, who looked in the mirror at one point in time and said, "I am so popular. I look at the polling. I'm the next governor of Arizona. This is a slam dunk." There is this pesky little resign to run law, and people generally don't like that. But I am really popular, and this is going to be a slam dunk. Welcome to the show.
Wow.
Paul Johnson, Terry Goddard, both fit that description.
I don't know who he's talking about. You?
Block that one out of your mind.
Wow.
There you go.
All right. I'll bring us in from the break, guys. Don't worry about it. It'll be a lot nicer.
Maybe he was talking about Margaret Hand.
Yeah. Well, it's been a long time, but those of us remember that. By the way, and the segue into rules of the game is this. That rule that you have to resign in office if you're not in the last year of your office, interestingly, the way mayors and city officials are elected an odd number of years, it applies to city officials. But this law written by legislators basically doesn't apply to legislators who run for higher office, because they, being elected an even numbered years, do not have to resign in order to run for governor.
And they don't.
And regularly don't. So who makes the rules matters. With that
sauce for the goose
in mind, Terry Goddard, you are concerned about the issue of dark money. And in case somebody's been living in a cave, what's dark money and why should we care?
I think many of us are concerned, Mike, about dark money. It's really the polluting element in politics today. There are many of them, but I think at the top of the list is anonymous contributions to political activity. Basically, somebody wants to influence our vote, but doesn't want us to know who they are. And the system today is rigged to allow that to happen. And I think it's very, very corrosive to our democracy. It's caused a tremendous amount of folks to believe that their vote really doesn't count, because they don't know whether they're voting for or against somebody they either respect or deplore.
Now, in order to do that, you can't give that money directly to the candidate, right?
No, it's not directly to the candidate. It's through either what we now call independent expenditures or through a wide variety of legal fictions, so-called 501c4 foundations.
The puppy packs.
The puppy packs.
Yes.
These are... It's a legal system that was set up by the Internal Revenue Service and the Congress to basically facilitate public dialogue, ironically, through organizations that want to present educational public interest programs. And we all know many of them. The NRA is one. The Planned Parenthood has one. The Sierra Club has one. I mean, there are many longstanding educational 501c4 foundations. The nature of those foundations under IRS rules is they don't have to disclose their donors, and the big money interests figured out that they could use that as a as a subterfuge, as a way to hide, and have a tremendous impact under the new Citizens United rules in our campaigns, have tremendous impact upon how campaigns came out. And literally millions of dollars have flowed into Arizona, hundreds of millions across the country. But in Arizona in the last election, we saw an estimated $15 million of dark money come into the statewide campaigns, and they won every race they played in. So it's a formidable, formidable problem.
So is this, just so we understand what we're talking about, are these the same thing as super PACs, or is that different?
No, that is different. PACs and even independent expenditure committees, which we have in abundance in Arizona and around the country, have to disclose all of their donors. They have to tell you who the real people or corporations were that wrote a check to them.
I mean, so for example,
what's different about the dark money is all you know is that it's a Citizens for Better Government, or they always have wonderful, good sounding names, is the contributor. And what you will not be able to find out under the current rules is who put their money into Citizens for Better Government.
So where let's roll back to the last election. Where's there evidence of dark money influence in the last round of elections in the state of Arizona? Said they won them all.
They won them all. They won the governorship, they won the attorney general, they won the secretary of state. Top races had major, major amounts. That $15 million that I described basically played in four of the five major statewide elections.
And there's one major player here, right? There's one name.
Well, there's
that
one name
out.
That stands out.
We've mentioned him. You can go ahead and say the name.
His name is Sean
feeling.
Noble. He's right. An Arizona political operative who in 2012 is credited with moving, I believe the number was $130 million of dark funds through his bank account in Arizona to political campaigns and operations around the country. Including a number here in Arizona. But it isn't a singular operation. There are literally dozens of these organizations, many of them set up by the Koch brothers. In fact, their network has a good dozen of these very fine-sounding organizations that are designed for one purpose only, to be in politics but not to let you know who the player is.
If the funding is not disclosed, how do we know it's Koch brothers?
California.
It has been disclosed in a couple of instances. Paul's right. California did a very tough analysis of one of the Sean Noble operations, and basically that and a group called ProPublica, which is a public interest group, a research organization, did a significant revelation. But you're right. I mean, we don't know exactly who wrote the check, because they don't have to. Under our current laws, we don't have to disclose. And I'm trying to change that. I've been working on drafting an initiative which would make all political money transparent. You'd know who the original contributor was.
Can we get to that after the break? We got to take a quick break, and we'll come back more with Paul Johnson and Terry Goddard. We're talking dark money. That's next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Wait, now, hold on. I pointed to you to bring us in the break, but I promised the guys that I would bring us in from the break because I'm a lot nicer.
Go for it.
Terry Goddard, before we broke, you were talking about your new proposals about dark money and how to, let's be real, let's eliminate that. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, first we would like to, and I tried to see if we could move something in the Arizona legislature, and that was a very futile quest. Basically, I think every member of the presiding party believes either they got dark money, they would like to get it, or they're afraid of it. So there were no moves to try to reform our election code so that contributions would have to be disclosed, regardless of what the corporate form that they came in was. So I've gone to work, looked at other states who have done similar activity. My current model right now is Montana, that super liberal state there in the Midwest that passed a very tough anti-dark money law against all kinds of entrenched opposition in this last session. Bipartisan effort, a real model for what Arizona could do. But
has it gone through an election cycle yet there?
No, it was just passed. But I think the big deal was it was truly a bipartisan effort to say this is wrong. This is something that we in Montana, we're conservative, but we're hard red. but we are not going to buy this kind of off-the-scene manipulation mm-hmm. of our political process.
And basically, what does this say? Instant disclosure?
It basically says instant disclosure for everybody. You want to spend
federal
money.
Federal offices, too?
No, it's just state offices. Mm-hmm. They can't, we would have to focus on state offices, but that's a start. And mm-hmm. Congress, obviously, is not doing anything about this. They could. I think the Supreme Court set it up for Congress to do something. They basically said in the Citizens United decision that the antidote for corporate spending, which was authorized by Citizens United, was total disclosure. And Justice Kennedy is very eloquent on that point, as is Justice Scalia. This is not a liberal or conservative issue. This is an issue of the integrity of our democracy. And what I'm trying to do is to restore that integrity here in Arizona by having a citizens initiative, which would require all players, everybody who wants to spend money or be involved in influencing an election has to tell you who they are and not who their stand-in is, not who some shill corporation that they've set up for a specific non-disclosure purpose is, but who actually wrote the original check.
You don't see the legislature doing this?
No, the legislature is not going to do it. In fact, one legislator, Ken Clark, stood up and tried to make some floor amendments, and they punished him for it when he tried to provide for additional transparency. They pulled bills of his that were supposed to be heard and basically grounded him because he had the audacity to stand up and try to do something that might make disclosure more the rule in Arizona. So, no, it's not going to happen in the legislature.
You know, hold on. So what we're looking at is you need people that benefit from it to change it.
Well, no. If you're going through the legislature,
that's what we're facing.
So I have very little hope that that's going to work.
It does have an effect on the other part of the process. Our founders years ago, they knew that once people gained power in the legislature, that they would become entrenched and that their goal would be to protect their power. So they created the process of referendum, initiative, and recall. The idea was to give the public an equal amount of power to the people who were actually in office. However, what we're seeing in the dark money, you know, Terry talked about the fact that there was over $100 million that was invested in the elections in California and Arizona 4 years ago. Here's the result of that. One of the initiatives that we were behind, which was opening up the primary to let every voter have the right to vote in every election, mm-hmm. had about $2 million spent against it by the Koch brothers, at least by best estimates. Now, we only know that because we were able to glean some of that information from what happened in California. My own personal opinion, if the Koch brothers want to spend their money in an election, I give them the right to do so. Just tell the public you're doing it and why you're doing it. Because okay. if you keep it a secret, sooner or later, it's not just the Koch brothers. It's the Chinese. It's ISIS. It's the syndicate. It's a whole variety of different sources that will find ways to funnel that money in and have a disproportionate influence on the system. At least if the public knows who it is, they can then gauge whether or not it matters to them. In my opinion, what we've created now is a system where you are consolidating power around the legislative process and around the people, the special interests that have lots of money. That's dangerous for our democracy and our republic.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Paul, you have a proposal of your own to deal with another aspect of the broadly speaking, we're talking about political reform here.
Yeah, and you know, the idea of political reform, you don't have to listen to people who are past elected officials to talk about its need. I mean, just look at what's happening in the public. Through no organized effort whatsoever, we have a huge amount of people who are leaving the two parties and who are registering as independents. They're disassociating themselves with either side. But the downside to that is that we've created these primaries where now it is much easier for special interests and small elite groups to have control.
Why is it easier?
The numbers, if you look at them, tell its own story. 70% of the people are registered to vote. Of the 70 that are registered to vote, right now, nationally, about 40% are independent. So about a third are Democrat, a third are Republican. So if you times 30% by the 70%, about 20% of the public could vote in either one of the two primaries. However, in the primary turnouts, you only end up with about 20% of the people voting. So now you're talking about 4% of the people.
20% of 20%.
That's right. 4% that will vote in the Republican primary, 4% in the Democratic primary. Then 400 out of 435 districts have been gerrymandered to the point where there's no general election, right? In the legislature, out of 90 seats, it's 81 have no real opposition. That means that 4% of the people are deciding who's going to represent
them. Well, half of 4%. Half of 4%. Yeah. So 2.1%
think
are
about
deciding.
Now, couple dark money on top of that and start to recognize how easy it is to create a disproportionate voice for special interests and to take that power away from the people who should have that voice. Our reform basically says every voter ought to have the right to vote in every election. And every candidate, when they're running, ought to have to go out and sell their message to people on both sides, on all sides, including independents. What's happening today? They're not. They're tailoring their message to a very narrow, small group. And when they get done with that primary, they have no real opposition in the general election. Mm-hmm. If we allow that to continue, you are doing nothing but disenfranchising the vast majority of citizens who don't get to take part in that primary.
And I don't think anybody has to say it, but I will. The result of what Paul has just described is far more radical representatives on both sides and gridlock. And we've seen it in Congress, and we've certainly seen it in the Arizona legislature. And that's deplorable. And that, unfortunately, is part of the vicious circle, which makes more and more people throw up their hands and say, it doesn't work. I don't want to have any part of it.
Saying the system produces that.
It does. I mean, we start with a minimal number of electors. We move into non-attributable dark money that is providing a tremendous, almost unstoppable wave of publicity for their favored people, and unbelievable amounts. I mean, I've been in Arizona elections, as Paul has, for a while. And frankly, in 2012 and far more in 2014, we saw the amount of money being spent in state and local elections quadruple.
And, you know, Terry,
real quick, we'll hold that thought till the break. We're up against a hard break right now. We have Paul Johnson and Terry Goddard here with us. We're talking dark money and the change, hopefully, the change that we will soon see in politics. That's The Think Tank next.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
I'll turn my mic on. Paul Johnson, I cut you off. Right, we're getting a hard break in mid-sentence. Go. You have the floor.
I've been married for quite a few years, so I'm used to being cut off, just to be honest with you. Terry used the word when he was talking about dark money, rigged. Think about what's happening. You know, let's start with looking at if you decide you want to be an independent, you want to run for office. If you're an independent, you want to run for office. If you run for governor, you need 7,000 signatures as a Democrat, 7,000 signatures as a Republican, 39,000 signatures if you run as an independent. The voter lists are given out free if you're a Democrat. They're free if you're a Republican. If you run as an independent, it's going to cost you about $100,000 to get that list. If you decide that you want to vote as an independent. So you go vote in a primary, mm-hmm. right? You show up in a Republican primary, Democratic primary, which the voters have now said that you should have the right to do. And you show up in those primaries. The Republican, the next election, will get an early ballot. The Democrat will get an early ballot. They kick you off. You have to go re-register again to get an early ballot, right?
If you're an independent, you get a vote by mail ballot.
Right. I'm sorry. But the idea is that it's designed to make certain that you don't vote. If you look at dark money, the existing legislature is rigging the system to make certain that that dark money can keep flowing. The goal of the people who are in power is to keep power.
Yes.
Our founders believed that voters needed choices.
It must be a pretty good system if it elected me, right?
There you go. That's right. And the founders wanting choices created referendum, initiative, and recall. They created a system that they hoped that competition would happen. Now, I can tell you I was an elected official, so I don't want to blast them completely. Mike just made the point. When I was in office, the currency, the gold standard is to have no opponent. That's right. What you want,
sure.
Right? That's better than winning the election.
So you raise enough money that it scares everybody else off.
That's right.
And you basically convince the world that if they run against you, they're going to get caught.
But it's more than that.
It's new. There's a new wrinkle. Not only do you raise massive amounts of money, but that has a tremendously, let's say, cauterizing effect in the political process. But what we've seen in the last year has been dark money forces, unattributable cash. When somebody dares to stand up against one of their favorite elected officials, suddenly their advertisements or their robocalls or there are special attention paid
we had this
to
occur-
attack the critics. So not only does it go to bolstering your political coffers, that's the old system. The new system is a continual effort to sort of sell a particular person, a particular office holder, a particular bill of goods to the public. So dark money doesn't just want to control elections. They now want to make sure they can control the governance process while it is ongoing. That's unprecedented.
We saw that recently, not even with an elected official. There was a superintendent in
Superintendent
Mesa.
Of schools in Mesa got hammered by a dark money institution sending out robocalls because he had the temerity, the audacity to challenge the governor's budget.
He said our schools are bleeding. We need more.
And hey, look, I'm not against that. I'm not against that in any way. If at the very end it tags this message is from this person.
Yeah, if the Koch brothers decide that it's important to get involved in an election, great. Right. Let the public know it.
Right.
But what's happening is, without being attributable, they can say any scurrilous thing that they want about the opposition. It used to be when you ran against the other person and you said something bad about them, you were held accountable. Right?
Well, for a while, you had to go on camera and said, I'm so-and-so, and I endorse this message, which I thought had a very civilizing effect on the kinds of messages that people were willing to give.
The people who can give these messages now, they're faceless.
Yeah.
So they can say any outrageous thing they want about the other side. That in itself is destabilizing the political system.
Millennials, let me talk to you for a second here, just so you know what we're talking about. Let me sum it up this way. They're internet trolls is what they are. They're people that are hiding behind a meme. They're hiding behind an avatar that isn't themselves, and they can say and do anything they want without any type of
repercussions. That's a great analogy,
right?
Because you see on the internet the kind of vicious talk that nobody would ever engage in if I'm across the table from you. But when you don't know who I am, I'm a troll.
Yep.
Obviously, I can say, and unfortunately, people do say anything, and that's raised the level of hateful talk amazingly. Yeah,
the internet is just horrible.
What we're talking about is accountability. Mm-hmm. What we're really talking about, at the very essence of both Paul's proposal and mine, is to have a political process that's accountable, where people, every vote counts, and every statement or every candidate is accountable. And unfortunately, what's happened today, to an increasing extent, is we're losing accountability. We're losing responsibility. Candidates aren't even in charge of their own election
anymore.
They
have to at least maintain the fiction that they're not. For example, the recent budget or fundraising figures came out a couple of weeks ago on the presidential race. And to take just one example, because I thought the ratio was just staggering and the money was more than anybody else. Governor Bush raised $11 million in the last quarter. But that was to his campaign. Private PACs, super PACs, working on his behalf, that he has to maintain that he does the fiction that he does not control, raised $114 million. So you got $114 million by these sort of third-party entities that are, there's this fiction that you don't coordinate. Usually they're run by last year's campaign manager, but you're not allowed to talk or somebody goes to jail. And only $11 million for his real campaign. Where's the real?
You know, when I first ran for council, I had a guy that was an advisor to me named Barry Starr. And I will never forget, Barry passed away. I loved him. But he said, look, you're going to get these political consultants and they're going to talk to you and they're really smart and they're bright and they're going to give good advice. He says, but they also have lost where the line is, where the line of decency is, civility, and that will affect your reputation. And it's your job to make certain that you stop them from crossing that line. If Barry were here today, here's what he'd know. That line no longer exists for anyone, because now all you have to do is separate yourself from them to make certain that that money that's going to be saying those terrible things is not attributable to you. I just see that as being very, very damaging, because what that does to the public is it increasingly gives them a message that makes them lose hope, that makes them believe that our leaders can't lead, that they can't politically do what they need to do. And unless we find a way to change that, the Republic is in huge trouble today.
And the tail is clearly wagging the dog. It used to be that these independent voices were relatively small. I mean, they've always been out there. People saying irresponsible things in the course of a political campaign. Now it's the majority of the money that's being spent. and it is irresponsible, unaccountable, and if they say something that's either totally false or marginally false or defamatory, okay, there's some poor person that's been designated to be the head of the 501c4, which is the dark money organization. He's not the one who wrote the check. He's not the one that is responsible. They're buried three or four corporations down in a chain of interconnected corporations that are designed to hide the original donor. I spent a lot of my time as Attorney General prosecuting money laundering. And I only have one word for this kind of operations. It's money laundering. It's the kind of thing that the drug dealers do every day to try to hide their assets and to move them into areas such as Mexico where they can spend the money. And it's got to be stopped.
The difference is it's money laundering, but it's perfect. In the political
it's
sphere,
perfectly it's perfectly legal. Right, yeah. That's right. It's the same technique that the drug dealers do to move their money to Mexico, but it is not legal. It is legal. And Paul said earlier, there's nothing that hides the Koch brothers that can't also hide ISIS or China or any other illegal participant in our governmental discussions.
What's next for your proposals? You say you have proposals. What does that mean? Where are they going? What are they doing?
Well, the key is that we're going to have to get the voters to put it on the ballot. Now, again, the legislature passed some rules this year. They now want what's called strict compliance, which means, just to give you a hypothetical, let's say that you dated your proposal at the end of signing an initiative form, and everybody in front of you put 2016, but you forgot to close the loop on the six, so you can't quite tell if it's a five or a six. Strict compliance would say don't count that signature.
Oh, boy.
All right, so they've now, I think there will be a Supreme Court test on that, effectively, because I'm not certain that the legislature, Terry could speak better to this than I can, but whether the legislature can limit the right to the public's right to recall referendum and initiative. But I will tell you, we're going to have to go collect signatures. Because we're not going to want to be tested, we're going to have to collect more. That's going to mean that it's going to increase the cost, which was exactly the intent of what they were trying to do, to make it more difficult to get something on the ballot. Hopefully, we can get both of these items on the ballot. If we get them both on the ballot, we end up being in a position where real reform can happen. Because I think most people know that it's not really one or the other of these that are problems. It's the idea that you end up having a gerrymandered system in partisan races where people don't have to appeal to people on both sides, where no real race happens, and where you have lots of money pouring in that's having a disproportionate voice for special interests without you even having the right to know who that voice is.
Right.
Both of these initiatives, I believe, are very important to be able to change Arizona politics to a system that's more accountable to the people.
Terry, last words?
Well, I think it's back to folks. I mean, we're going to do the best job. I'm still working on the final drafting of a anti-dark money initiative. I hope to have that done relatively soon, within a month or two. So then it goes to the streets. It goes to the voters. It goes to seeing whether people think this is important enough to put on the ballot for 2016. I'm passionate about it. I'm going to spend the next however many months we have before now in November of next year working on it. And I've heard lots and lots of people share that opinion. They basically feel that the acid that's corroding our democracy is the incredible influence of anonymous, largely corporate cash, which hides the original donor, and they can try to manipulate our vote from behind the curtain. It's the old story from The Wizard of Oz. You know, don't look at the person behind the curtain.
Pay no attention to that man.
Pay no attention. He has only your best interests in mind. And frankly, that and the fact that fewer and fewer people, as Paul has pointed out, are participating in our democracy has basically changed the character of it. And that's got to... In all of our salvation, we've got to change that direction.
And I think I speak for Doc O'Neill when I say that in any way that we can help with our little microphones that we have here, we'd love to help. We're supporting what you're doing, and we're very excited about what you're doing, and we wish you the best of luck in it. And thank you, Paul Johnson and Terry Goddard, for stopping by. Doc and I will tie a big old bow around this sucker when you come back.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
And a big thanks to Paul Johnson and Terry Goddard. They're really tall.
Yeah.
Good night.
You know,
they're like 6'4 a piece.
That's the upper limit. You know that they have done research on this, and the taller candidate almost always wins until you get to 6'4. above 6'4",
really?
you come across as authoritative and all that. Yeah. Above 6'4", you start to look awkward.
Okay, well, I felt short. Yeah. I'm 6'1", and I felt short. Yeah, that's impressive, man. There's some big guys. But a great, they're doing good. They're doing something good. And I know we did, because sometimes you get into that deal where we talked about the Koch brothers, public enemy number one, and then you're talking about Bush and his PAC money and this and that. Look, they're not the only ones stuffing dark money into things. On the left, we have the Soroses and the like. Yeah. In Hillary, don't get me started on Hillary's money. So this is both sides. But they brought up a great point that should appeal to every R and every D and every I in this state, that our republic is being corroded, our system is being corroded by this dark money.
Let me make a political prediction for you.
Okay? I like
and
predictions.
This takes to the point that the rules of the game matter, okay?
Okay.
The next Russian election, my money's going on Vladimir Putin.
Okay right.
Because he sets the rules of the game.
Sure.
Okay. The rules. So you don't have to know a whole lot about, you can. Right. So we have a system now. There are certain rules in effect. The way we do districting, the way we run things through primaries, as we heard, tiny little groups of people are voting in each primary and they select candidates. And then when you get to, so not everybody gets to vote to see who the candidates are on the ballot. Only people in the parties and only certain of them. And then you get money that comes in without attribution and all that. So all of that is part of the system, the systematic. You change the system, you change the results.
Right.
And that's why I make the Putin prediction with a high degree. He who makes the rules.
Yeah, he who has the goal.
So right now
rules,
we
right?
have folks, and that's why they are talking about going out to an initiative, because the people who have benefited from the existing rules are not going to change the system.
And that's why I asked that question earlier.
And I thought, actually, the pithy way that Terry put it, he said, everybody, referencing dark money, he said, everybody in the legislature right now either got it, wants it, or is afraid of it.
Okay.
I thought that pretty much captured it.
It does.
They are not going to do, for one of those three, well, one or all of those three reasons, are not going to do anything to curtail a system that they either fear or have benefited from or hope to benefit from.
And here's the sad part is those listening, not my guy. My guy's doing,
he's doing
my guy.
Good. Yeah,
my guy, he's out there fighting the good fight.
Right.
And they know that, by the way.
And yes, of course.
Yes.
And that, by the way, the other thing that all the flow of money, I think, has done to politics and the anonymous money from third parties. If I were to say to the average person on the street, well, you know, what do you think about your elected official? You would get this really negative, you know, oh, they're all a bunch of crooks.
Throw them out. Yeah.
And that is not an accident. That's a byproduct of the fact that there is this massive negativity machine that doesn't have to be responsible. In other words, and you referenced there, your reference to, hey, millennials was a very good point. It used to be that a campaign was spending almost all the money to run for office. And there was a period during which the official themselves had to come on camera if they were on television and say, hi, I'm Joe Slobotnick, and I endorse this message.
Sure.
And when you had to do that, you better be sure that if you have said something negative, you better be sure it's true. And you better be constrained. Right now, those messages come out by people that don't have to. Those are, you know, citizens for Warren Party, and they basically talk about what a sleaze you are. You have no response to go back to the candidate who's really behind that. You know, and you can attack this other group, but they don't care.
It wasn't me.
And I think that has, more than anything else, has contributed to a coarsening of our politics, whereby most people think that most elected officials are sleazes, and we're worse off because of that.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I want to quickly, before we wrap up, I want to get to Paul's point. Paul Johnson brought up a wonderful point about disclosure when he said, if you know where the money's coming from, I'm sorry, if you know where that ad is coming from, right. Not just, you know, right. Puppies United. It's you know right where that money's going. Koch brothers, Soros,
you
whoever
can
it
evaluate.
Is. You can then make the decision whether it's important to you or not. And I think that is that drove it home
and
for me.
Say, does this person have a vested interest in making that argument?
Exactly.
Does this person have an economic interest in the thing that they're promoting? That is part of how we evaluate things.
And
who's saying
this,
it? What are their interests?
And know this, by the way, the Koch brothers, the Soroses. Guess what? They know the majority, the vast majority of this country won't do their homework. They'll just see a name behind it, and that, okay, all right, that's fine.
It's been almost impossible to do your homework.
Well, for example, look
at what's going on here. They're talking about they're having chased down some of the money in some of the races.
Yeah.
Was only because there's some disclosure laws in California, and a lot of the Arizona money or a lot of the money in California got filtered through Arizona, where it's sort of closed system,
mm-hmm.
and somebody in California was able to get through and trace back some of the sources. Otherwise, we wouldn't know in a
okay,
lot of
those
cases.
Guys do the homework. I'm talking about the vast majority of voters.
I'm saying it was even hard for them.
But here at the end, if let's say this all goes through mm-hmm. and everyone has to disclose. So this message brought to you by the George Soros Organization mm-hmm. or the Koch brothers. This is who paid for this.
Yep.
I'm going to say that the vast majority will not say, well, who's this Soros guy?
Yep.
Who's this? Who are these Koch brothers? What do you like, Coke and Pepsi? They won't. They'll just move on and say, yep, I heard that. And it's against that guy. And yeah, I don't think they're going to be very against it. You're not going to get a lot of fight. You're going to get some fight. I don't think you'll get a lot of fight. These people having to say
instant
what it is.
Nirvana. But I think clearly knowing where the money came from is a step in the right direction.
And we didn't. You know? We mentioned gerrymandering a couple of times. And we could do a whole show on that because that is just a whole load of silliness.
Well, we've dealt with that to some extent by the districting commission. But this deals with the consequences of it. But here's the music. What do you think, Mike?
I feel like I should have a beret on and a cigarette. All right.
I wrote it.
All right. You wrote this?
I wrote this. I arranged it, yeah.
No way. Check Doc O'Neill out. All right. Do we have a whole minute of this or just 30 seconds? Do I have to be quick? All right, Paul Johnson, Terry Goddard, thank you so much for doing this. Doc, thanks for putting this music together. Way cool. All right. Thanks for spending some time with us, you hip cats. It's Think Tank, KTR News.